And greetings, friends. Welcome to Tomorrow's World program, where you'll gain precious insights into today's news and the real future of this world. My friends, why don't people get real answers to their prayers? Oh, I know that most people say they feel better when they pray. People are usually encouraged by the power of positive thinking and all that kind of thing. But why do so very few experience genuine divine intervention when they pray? Today's program is entitled, The Answer to Unanswered Prayer. I'm going to give you specific keys to help you receive the real answers when you pray. Stay tuned. Now, my friends, let us get right into the vital subject of getting genuine answers to our prayers. Some of the keys I'm about to give you may seem obvious, but they are often overlooked, and they are absolutely vital if you want real answers when you pray. Key number one, I'm going to list these, so get them down if you're taking notes. Key number one, be sure to pray to the true God. Be sure you pray to the true God. My friends, there are all kinds of ideas out there about who God is and what He is like. But you'd better be sure which God you're praying to. Notice what the Bible tells us about this. Go get your Bible during this program. Check up on me. Prove these things. Most of us don't really understand the Bible. I know that. We're busy in our modern society. We say we're Christians, many people, but they don't even understand the handbook of Christianity. They don't really study the Bible. They just know about it. They know a favorite verse here and there. Let's understand the mind of God, which is revealed in this book. Turn in your New Testament to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, and the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians here, "Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in this world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is only one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." Think about that. There's only one God, God the Father, the Creator. He is the one who made all things. That's the thing to understand. In your Bible, you'll find throughout the Bible that God refers to Himself as the one who made the heavens and the earth, the one who sets up kings and takes down kings, who overall controls world affairs, who controls the weather. He is God. Picture this vast universe out there, the sun, the moon, the stars, the great God who created the universe. He is God. For He created the sun and everything that is in the outer space. He created, of course, the laws that govern the entire universe, which even many scientists seem to take for granted when they try to describe a creation without a creator, and the dozens of natural laws without a lawgiver who put those laws in motion. Think about it. They're already there. Who put them there? When you kneel down on your knees to pray, lift up your hands and your hearts to the Creator who gives you life and breath. There is no other God. Think about that. Pray to that God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who gives life and breath, the Creator who inspired this book, the instruction manual to mankind. Key number two, learn to study and obey God's Word. In this word right here that I have in my hands, the inspired Bible, and it is inspired, in spite of all these modern attacks on it, this is the revelation from God. Learn to do and obey what God said in this word. Remember what Jesus Christ said. Turn with me, if you would, back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 4, a very fundamental scripture, of course, that we often refer to, but it is very important to understand. Luke 4, verse 4, Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." We're to live by every word of God. How can you live by it unless you really study the Bible and begin to understand it and have a sincere desire to obey your Creator, to obey what you read in this word? And remember, my friends, when Jesus said that, to live by every word of God, the only written word of God at that time was what we call the Old Testament. That is inspired, the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And throughout the New Testament, over and over and over, you'll find them quoting the Old Testament as the Word of God. Hundreds of times quoting the Old Testament as the Word of God. So it is the Word of God, all of it. And the New Testament, of course, interprets the Old Testament. But be sure, the New Testament does not do away with it. It does not do away with God's laws and God's way of life if you study it carefully and honestly. Again, note what Jesus Christ said back in Luke 6 and verse 46. In Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus tells us this, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why do people call Jesus Lord, and yet they go a different way? They follow different ideas, different concepts of God. So you must learn to do what Jesus actually taught, not necessarily the traditions of your family or your church. As you obey God and live by every word of God, then God will hear your prayers. He's not going to hear you just wander off worshiping some other god or going some other way of life. Doesn't that make sense? I think it does. Think about it. God is real. God is logical. Think of all the churches out there with different ideas and different traditions. Most of these folks out there are very sincere, but most communists and most atheists are probably very sincere also. Think about it. They are. Many of them have had to suffer for their beliefs. So obeying the Bible is the key. Obeying this book, once you've proved that it is the Word of God, doing what God says. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. John writes, "Whatever we ask, we receive from him." You see, we get our prayers answered. Why? "Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So we've got to keep the commandments. He's talking about the Ten Commandments throughout this book, not some other commandments. It's very obvious. He quotes from some of them. Keep the Ten Commandments and do those things that are pleasing in God's sight. So do this to assure yourself that your prayers will be answered. Think about it. Obey God. At this point, my friends, I invite you to call now to request a vitally important and absolutely free booklet on prayer. This attractive booklet entitled 12 Keys to Answered Prayer will be sent absolutely free upon your request. All our literature is totally free. You owe it to yourself to send for this vital booklet, 12 Keys to Answered Prayer. This booklet will explain more about receiving genuine answers to your prayers than I can do in this brief program. So write us or call us right now before you forget. Just request the free booklet on answered prayer. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-718-4800. That number once again is 1-800-718-4800. Call now. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic, my friends, the answer to unanswered prayer. Turn again to 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Notice what the beloved disciple, Jesus' favorite disciple, was inspired to tell us about prayer. He says here, "Whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Why? Why do we receive an answer? Because we keep His commandments, God's commandments, all 10 of them, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Isn't that logical? Would you hear the prayers of people if you were God and they went out breaking your commandments, living a different way of life after you've commanded them not to, and virtually spitting in your face? So think about it. Be willing to do what God says. And now let's study the third key to answered prayer. Key number 3, learn to trust in the God of the Bible. Trust God. Put your faith in God. God wants us to have genuine faith when we pray, and that's very important to God. If we don't trust in Him, He does not answer our prayers as a general rule. Notice how Jesus explained the importance of living faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 9, if you would. Matthew chapter 9, and beginning in verse 27. And then when Jesus had departed from there, two blind men followed Him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when He had come to the house, the blind men came to Him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." Then He touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And frankly, my friends, you find that phrase or something very similar several times in the Gospels. According to your faith. You've got to have faith in God to receive answers. You must learn to put your total trust in God. According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And so Jesus healed them right then, right there, according to their faith. And of course, that's a very important principle, and we need to understand that. So anyway, let's go on to the next point here. I want you to turn at this point to Matthew 14, the next scripture, Matthew chapter 14, and beginning in verse 23. Here's another example from Jesus Christ, from the mind of God, your Bible. "And when He had sent the multitudes away, and He went up on a mountain by Himself to pray." You need to pray alone. God is not necessarily interested in big crowd prayers normally, but to get down on your knees and talk to God. I like to get down on my knees in front of a window where I can see the creation outside and no one can look in. It's a second story window, and I can picture the great God of creation. I don't picture features up there, but just realize He's the creator of the sun, the moon, and the stars, everything that in them is. You find that Daniel did that back in Daniel 10. And now he, of course, or Daniel 6, verse 10, and now He opened the windows toward Jerusalem as He did at that time, no doubt looking up at the sky and praying to God. But Jesus then went to pray on a mountain out in the creation where He could lift up His hands and His heart to the God of heaven. And when evening had come, He was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, so this was 3 to 6 a.m., if you'll check it up in the Bible commentaries, they'd been up all night. Jesus went to them walking on the sea. He was extremely close to God. You say, well, that's just one of those stories in the Bible. No, it's not. This book was inspired by the great God, and you can prove that by the specific prophecies that have taken place, the way of life that works. And if you have faith, the answers you'll receive from the great God who inspired this book. He did that. That's what He did. How could Jesus walk on the sea? Well, Ephesians 3, 9, and many other scriptures tell us that God created all things by Jesus Christ. He made that sea. Of course He can walk on the sea. He was the Son of God. And people had to come to realize that. So He was walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out. They slept in a bedroll right next to Him at night as they were going around here and there. And they took it for granted. And then every now and then this man suddenly did something. They thought, wow, what's going on? Who is this guy? His disciples were sincere, but they were carnal young men, and they couldn't fully grasp who Jesus was until the very end of His ministry. And then they finally began to get it, and didn't totally get it, of course, until after the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit came, and suddenly the Peter, who denied Christ 3 times at the end of his life, was changed and had faith in God. So anyway, Jesus was walking on the sea, and they were troubled. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Let me go down on the water. Peter was always the leader, and he spoke up first, and he took the lead in all these situations, even though he was certainly far from perfect. So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He took several steps on the water because at that point he had faith in God. Faith, you see, which you've got to have. And when Peter, saw that the water was boisterous, he was afraid. Here are the waves coming, and suddenly he got his mind on those things rather than on what God had said and what Jesus had told him. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Now he was scared, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now I'm reading this to you, my friends, because back in Luke 18, you'll find Jesus telling people, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Frankly, most people don't have very much faith. Most of you don't have very much faith. I don't have the total faith that Jesus had or Paul or Peter had later. Most of us have been cut off from God to a degree in this society that focuses on man, 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 and what man can do. Some of you have seen the Sea of Galilee where this took place. I have also been there, and I even went swimming in it one time. Very beautiful lake. Jesus did many miracles on this very beautiful lake. He created that lake. He did those things right there. Remember how Jesus emphasizes faith over and over again. Hebrews 11, verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." God will reward us if we diligently seek him. That's the point, my friends. We've got to diligently seek God and cry out to God, walk with God, study his word, focus on the God who gives us life and breath, and build faith in God. Know that God will back up his word. He is not a liar. Learn to put your faith and trust in that great God. Now, key number 4, learn to pray fervently. That's the 4th key. Learn to pray fervently. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, and let's begin here in verse 5. And Jesus said, "When you pray," notice he didn't say, "if you pray," he said, "when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and showing off to men." See, a lot of people like to have big memorized prayers and flowery prayers. God doesn't want those prayers. "But you, when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." If you get down on your knees and you cry out to God sincerely and heartfeltly, he will hear you. "But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do." The pagans, you know, they get down over in one part of the world, they even have prayer wheels, and they turn the wheel, that on the wheel is printed a prayer, and supposedly every time the wheel turns, the prayer goes, you could put it up on a little electric machine, and the wheel would keep turning, and you'd have thousands of prayers going up to God, supposedly. Think about that. There are all kinds of religions that get into this stuff. The God of the Bible does not want that. The God of the Bible, think about it, wants us to have a relationship with him and to talk to him as a son to a father, to pour out our hearts to him sincerely. So don't use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that their prayers will be heard for their many words. And then Jesus tells us and gives us this example prayer called the Lord's Prayer. Another thing about how we should pray fervently, another key is given back in James chapter 5. If you would turn there with me to James chapter 5 and beginning in verse 16. James 5 verse 16. "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed," James writes. Yes, you can be healed by God, as we've explained on other programs, if you have faith in God, and if you really pray fervently. "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Notice the two qualifications, the fervent prayer, the person who puts his whole being in his prayer, and the person who is righteous, as we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, the person who keeps the commandments and tries to do those things that are pleasing in God's sight. You say, well, I can't be perfect. No, but you've got to try. You've got to grow in that. And through Jesus Christ in you, you can grow in that and walk over all within God's laws and God's ways. Then he will begin to hear your prayers more and more. The effective, fervent prayer to put your being in your prayers. God needs to know that we really care and we can get stirred up about prayer and stirred up about coming to God. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 5 now, if you would, my friends. At this point, another example about putting our whole heart in our prayers. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4, here he's talking about Jesus Christ. He really was Melchizedek in the Old Testament when you understand it. Hebrews 5 verse 4, and no man takes this honor to himself. Paul is talking about the priesthood here. You're not supposed to appoint yourself as a minister or a priest, but he was called of God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he said in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when Jesus came in the human flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears, Christ literally was shaking and crying at times when he prayed to God with all of his being. With vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. That deep awe he had, even though he had been with God from eternity, he was saying, Father, I'm down here in the flesh now. I'm not up with you anymore. Please hear me. I've got to do it right. I'm the only Savior there is. Help me and guide me in this human flesh to live the right way of life. And Jesus did. He never sinned. But he poured out his being to God for the extra help that he knew he had to have in the human flesh, just as you and I do. And though he was a son, Jesus Christ, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Do you obey him? Do you cry out to him? And when you pray to God, do you put your whole being in your prayers? Or do you just have him memorized kind of a muttered prayer, a sleepy bedtime prayer? Please meditate, my friends, on what I'm saying. Learn to put your being in your prayers as you approach the great God of the universe. Again, my friends, be sure to call right now to request this extremely helpful booklet, 12 Keys to Answered Prayer. This booklet will be sent absolutely free. This is a very attractive booklet. It will be sent free upon your request. It may revolutionize your prayer life and help you to receive real answers more than ever before. This attractive booklet, 12 Keys to Answered Prayer, will explain more about receiving genuine answers to your prayers than I can do in this brief program. So write us, email us, or call us right now to receive your free copy, absolutely free, of this vital booklet. Just ask for the booklet on answered prayer.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-718-4800. That number once again is 1-800-718-4800. Call now or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Finally, my friends, always use this final key when you pray. Key number 5. Always pray in the name of Jesus Christ. God tells us in his inspired word, John chapter 16, as in many other places, but John 16 is one of the best. John chapter 16, verse 22. Therefore, you now have sorrow, Jesus said, at the near the end of his life, before his death. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, say, after Christ was resurrected, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father, God the Father, in my name, in the name, in the authority of the Son of God, who sits as our high priest at God's right hand, whatever you ask the Father, in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. We've always got to ask in the name of Jesus Christ and realize what that involves. And now, my friends, let us review these five keys to answered prayer. Number one, pray to the true God. Number two, study and obey God's word. Number three, learn to trust in the God of the Bible. Number four, learn to pray fervently. Put your being into your prayers. Number five, always pray in Jesus' name. My friends, learn to pray regularly and learn to know God and truly walk with God. Then your life will really be revolutionized, and you will have spiritual strength and power and outside help beyond what you've ever experienced before. Please call or write now and request this awesome tool we're offering you entitled 12 Keys to Answered Prayer, this vital booklet. And may God help you to use this tool, and be sure to tune in every single week to learn more about God's purpose in world affairs and in your life. On this program, you will gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. We also invite you to join our guest presenters, Wallace Smith and Rod King, who will give you special perspectives and insights on vital, biblical, and prophetic topics. Be sure to join us again next week, right here at this same time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-718-4800. That number once again is 1-800-718-4800. Call now. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. To view today's program, order the free literature offered, or for more information on today's vital subject, visit us online at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.